Hey everyone, happy new year. Welcome to another episode of the Retro Gamers Podcast, episode number 214. Larry here.
And Anthony here.
Happy 2021.
Happy 2021. We made it.
Thank goodness. Knocking on wood.
I'll knock on anything these days.
Every rabbit in the tri-state area is fearing for their lives right now.
Oh boy. But yeah, no, it's great to be in a new year. It's that whole thing of like, you know, it's interesting because I mean, when you think about it, it's like, you know, there's no big difference between it. It's more the meaning and the symbolism behind it where it's like,
correct.
Yeah. So, but just the whole idea, it's like, it can put you in a completely different mindset,
oh, yeah.
Especially after, you know, how 2020 went down.
Yeah.
It kind of went down like, I'm sorry, like an LJN video game.
Oh, nice. I like it.
It really was. 2020 is the LJN of our existence.
I think we're going to run with that. I like that analogy. LJN stinks. yeah, no, 2020 was interesting, but some of the pluses, and actually we were live on New Year's Eve for a little while on YouTube, and in 2021, be on the lookout for more of those, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, every now and again, we'll probably just switch it up. You know what? Subscribe on all three, follow on all three, and make sure you get the notifications on all three.
Yeah, because we'll surprise you and just randomly like show up.
We'll be there, then we'll be here, then we're over there, then we're over there.
Kind of like a serial killer.
Basically.
Yes.
But 2021, ringing in the new year after I recovered from just sitting on my couch and just endlessly watching old 90s music videos. Really, that's what I did after.
You watched 90s music videos?
I did. I really fell into like a, oh my God. Like I fell into the YouTube hole and just one after another. And then like, I'm like, late 90s, early 2000s. I'm like, oh man.
Wow. Isn't it funny? It's like we sit here like, and the whole impetus of our podcast is about retro gaming, but it's like basically everything we do is retro at this point now. We're at that age where it's like, man, it's like music today is just noise.
Oh, please.
It's like I need to go back and watch 80s and 90s music, like hair bands. Where are my hair rock, you know the hair bands, the hair metal bands,
grunge.
It's like grunge in the 90s. It's like granted, I don't think I ever left there, but I've willfully acknowledged the fact, okay, I've hit that part of my life.
Yes.
Where it's just like, everything that comes out today sucks.
Yep.
Everything from back then was awesome. And there's proof of that because if you haven't noticed by now, Netflix, Hulu, the major film industry, all tapping into the stuff from the 80s and 90s for today. I was watching some Cobra Kai this morning.
Oh, awesome show. I gotta watch that.
Awesome show. But still, it's just one of those things. It's like, okay, I am retro.
And you know, speaking of like pops, I've been getting in like the retro, like G1 Transformer pops. Those have been coming in. War for Cybertron, actually, on Netflix, which is basically a G1 Transformers. Fantastic. I'll get the Cobra Kai. And then, you know, Jen, when I woke up finally on New Year's Day, you know, I'm staring at my gaming center. And I got the Atari VCS now, which I am loving, contrary to popular belief, apparently. And with the anticipation of the Polymega, which I think was now due in February, the Intellivision, which is due in April, I once again kind of rearranged my gaming units to the point where now I think it's working out well because now I have better access to my Wii, to my Wii U.
Nice.
Which will double as my GameCube, and funny enough, my Wii. And I even broke out the PS2.
Oh, sweet.
No, yeah, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, you know, these are just kind of collecting dust. Let me get these out. Let me, you know, I like to display, when I used to have physical media way back when, you know, Ant, you've seen it, like, imagine all these pops, but imagine these shelves filled with DVDs and Blu-rays.
Oh yeah, I remember. I mean, I used to have.
Oh, you too. Correct.
Yeah, my setup was that way too. It was like I had bookshelves just loaded with DVDs, and then of course you get to that stage where it's like, at what point are you going to decide? It's like, okay, there's too much space. And I know you went all digital. Like that was probably the big difference between you and I is that you have kind of gone into the 21st century and said, I'm doing everything digital, whereas I am clinging on to the physical stuff for dear life. It's like, no, I want it. And even though it takes up room, I want that physical copy.
That's why it's necessity, which what started it was necessity because I ran out of room. It's almost like when I stare at these pop vinyls, I hate to say it, but I would say like 90% of them are just regular run-of-the-mill pop vinyls that are never really going to be worth anything in price. I'm never going to run into the actor or voice actor or whatever wrestler that portrays them to get an autograph, you know, unlike my got an autograph section over here. Maybe it's time to just pop them out of the box because it's taking up room. For as much as you see here, you should see the ones I have in storage.
Or maybe it's time to sell the ones that you don't really care for.
Which I've already done, which is why you don't really see any Star Wars pops.
Ah, okay.
But
so these are the ones that you actually care for, like all 300 of these.
Yeah, almost 400. Yeah, for the most part. Yeah, now I'm just buying for the love. Like right now, I'm hooked on Simpsons, so I'm buying a lot of those. But it's that retro. You're right, the retro craze. And I wanted to get back to the PS2 because I'm hooking up the systems. And I mean, I love you the way you have your setup. It's awesome.
Yeah,
with all the cubby holes. I don't have it like that, but I got systems out. Yeah. And then I broke out the PS2 and I have the PS1, the redesigned PS1. I'm getting ready to set it up. And then I'm like, but I have the PS2. And yes, maybe one or two games don't really work well on the PS2 for the PS1. Mm-hmm. But again, for necessity and for just room, I'm like, all right, let me put the PS1 away for now. And, you know, stick with the PS2. And yeah, I broke out a couple of PS1 games last night. I haven't played in forever. And it just, again, that wash of nostalgia. And then I go to hop on Amazon, try and find a wireless controller, PS2. But it's kind of 2021 is washing over with the fact of, like you said, Ant, as much as we're moving forward, we are kind of like hanging on to the past. And I don't think that's really too bad.
No, I don't think that there's anything wrong with that at all. I mean, as you can see, we've been talking about the past for like 4.5 years now on this show. Yeah, so
sure have.
But it's 2021. We have a new year on, you know, new year is upon us. Mm. And with a new year always tends to come New Year's resolutions.
Yes.
Right. And I don't know. Did you make any personal resolutions for yourself?
No, you know, because I'm like, you know what? Let me just play it safe for now because who knows what's down the road. Mm-hmm. You know, other than the usual be healthier and stuff like that, which, you know, for the most part, I kind of don't have a choice on. Usually when I don't have a choice and I'm backed into a corner is when I really get to prosper in that situation. Okay. So I think this is one of those points. But New Year's resolution wise, there are definitely, you know, on the gaming horizon, I definitely got some stuff that I would really like to play, to complete, to own, things like that. And, you know, for the most part, Ant, did you make any resolutions? Like, is there anything you got planned?
For this year? No, I mean, honestly, a lot of stuff happened in 2020 that was unexpected. So,
wow.
And I'm not just talking about like the state of the world and everything like that. Like, you know, I got a new job. Mm-hmm. I moved to a new state. I bought a house, like a ton of stuff went on for me, last year. So I wanted to keep things a little low key this year.
Fair enough.
I'm like, okay, all these big things kind of happen and they kind of, you know, they really, it was like a whirlwind type of thing. Like I wasn't planning on these last year and then they all happened, you know? So, for this year, I'm keeping it simple. You know, just, you know, like you said, like keeping healthy and everything like that. My one resolution, provided that it does happen in November, I should have a guaranteed entry into the New York City Marathon for this year because I was supposed to run it last year, but then of course everything happened. Mm-hmm. And it will be the 50th anniversary of the New York City Marathon, which is kind of special. Okay. So provided that goes through, I have a lot of training to do.
Okay.
So that my resolution is to get to and get through that marathon.
What do you need to train? You know the boroughs. You take a couple of taxis. You take the E
no.
down the...
On foot.
Oh.
On foot. What? Oh. Right. Oh. 26.2 miles.
That's...
Walk, run, walk, whatever you do.
I mean, I've cut through that the 42nd Street train station. That feels like 26 miles sometimes.
No, actually, I was gonna say not Grand Central, but the one by the one by Madison Square Garden.
34th Street.
No, 34th Street with the LIRR and all that stuff.
Yeah, Penn Station.
Penn Station. Thank you. Penn Station to me was always the most confusing. But
no, there's one though. Just real quick, and then we'll move on. There's that one state. I think it's 42nd Street that connects like 30. You can walk underground from like 34th. I think like 40th. It's such a long. I used to do it when I worked in Queens. Just a long haul during the summer. Oh.
Yeah, no, that was the haul I always said. Like, if I was going to die underground, this would be the place.
That's where you're planting your flag.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, that's where I plant my grave. But aside from that, like getting over to the gaming stuff, like obviously, one of the resolutions I'm sure we both share, which you said earlier, is like completing some stuff from yesteryear that we haven't completed yet. Again, we started a 2020 retro game completion challenge. We decided to extend that into 2021. Because to be perfectly honest with you, both of us really could not seem to focus.
Yeah, a little tough.
We could not seem to focus last year on getting some stuff done. So we're going to continue that. As of right now, where our contest stands, Larry has completed 7 games. I have completed 10. Thank you to the Capcom Beat 'em Up bundle, because I think I beat 4 games on that last month.
I think you should be thanking Rich.
And I should be thanking Rich. Rich, our game nights are definitely paying off for me contest-wise. So I'm kind of in the same boat as you are. It's like in terms of beating certain games and buying certain games, like because when I go and look at my collection and I'm like, why is this game not here anymore? Like, I've literally had games that have disappeared. Like, I know for a fact I didn't trade them in, but for some odd reason, they're just not there.
I'm missing an entire game console because it disappeared. My original Wii just upped and left at some point.
Well, it probably got pissed at you.
Maybe. I don't know. I was using it. I was playing it. But it just, for the love of God, I have no idea what happened to it.
I would love to say I took it, but I did not.
No, you have my 360, though.
Well, yeah, but you sold that to me.
I did, and then I got good timing.
Yes, I know, because I had it for a week before the Red Ring of Death came in. perfect timing for you. But hey, I got a new 360 out of it, so it worked out for me. I can honestly say, console wise, I've never lost one. Always managed to hang on to them. The games have disappeared for sure.
Yeah, that I believe. Let me ask you this, because there are some consoles coming out this year. Like I mentioned, you got the Polymega, you got the Intellivision. Retail wise, I think only the Founders editions were released recently. But like the retail Atari VCSs, I think hit the end of March. Okay. Besides the Polymega, I mean, with this nostalgia factor, do you have any interest? I'm not saying you're going to go out and buy them day one. Trust me, I'm the day one guy. I get it. Mm-hmm. But, for these weird systems. But, like, do you have it, like, in the back of your mind, you're like, well, if that maybe goes on sale, maybe I'll pick up, like, a VCS or an Amigo.
Amico.
I'm not doing that on purpose, too.
Yeah, I know. You just want to say Amigo.
No.
It's the Intellivision friend. If they went on sale, I think I would pick them up. Yes. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't buy them for full price. Mm-hmm. Definitely not. I just think, again, right now, like $300 for an Atari console that's unproven to me is a bit harsh. That's all.
Okay, fair enough.
And the Intellivision was $200?
Just about. Yeah, probably because I got the Founders Edition, so it was a little more, but I'm getting some more stuff with it.
Yeah, but no, like those were always going to be wait and see. It's why I didn't pre-order those order them on Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Polymega, I obviously pre-ordered because I saw what it could do, and I was really impressed. And if it doesn't come out in February, I'm going to their headquarters.
you got to imagine that now in 2021, this is the year of, hitting the deadlines and releasing these systems.
Yeah. Everybody got a mulligan. Look, everybody got a mulligan last year, but now, yeah, that's it.
Everybody gets one.
Moving on. Yeah, exactly. So console wise, I'm actually I don't foresee any specific console that I want to purchase in 2021. With one exception.
Okay.
And I just want it for the fact of what it is, and it's going to be stupid, but I want the KFC console.
Oh, absolutely. The KF console. I'm desperately trying to find that.
Yeah, it's not, well, it's not out yet. And it is actually one of the bits of retro news that I had on here, because I don't think we brought it up.
No, we have not mentioned it yet.
Yeah, but just the whole idea of like KFC. Now we're talking Kentucky Fried Chicken.
The KFC, Colonel.
The Colonel. Colonel Sanders is releasing a gaming console. And it's kind of more, well, first off, with the specs that it's listed at, more powerful than PS5, more powerful than Xbox Series X. It seems to me like it's more like a, almost like a PC.
Kind of thing. It's absolutely a mini PC. It smells delicious.
It smells delicious because it's the first console to ever have a built-in chicken chamber.
This is genius. Whoever came up with this should be promoted.
Yeah. So if you happen to be enjoying some KFC, and you're in the, you know, you're in between, you know, some multiplayer game online, and now you go into a lobby and such. So it's like, wait a minute, I haven't finished my chicken. You don't have to worry about it getting cold because you can stick it in your console to keep it warm.
But not only that, think of the concept behind this chicken warmer drawer. Mm-hmm. So what it does is, it's not like a separate heating element. It takes the heat generated by the console itself. Folks, it's like driving cross country in the 70s. Like, you know, you throw your meal on the engine and you let it cook as you drive through. Not only that, at one of my prior job, again, back in the day before I was there, when they had the big the old school monitors, you know, the deep ones.
Yep.
People would put their lunch on top of the monitor to start to heat it up.
Yep.
And that is the God honest truth. So that's what this does. It takes the heat generated by the system and it pulls it up into the chicken warming drawer. Exactly right.
But my question will always be, how much chicken grease will it take to drip before the console gets destroyed? All right.
You have not had KFC in a long time, I see.
No, I have not.
There's really, and I got a wonderful KFC story that I won't tell here, but you know, there is no grease. They take care of their chicken, especially their fried chicken. So it's not dripping in oil or anything like that, but I'm sure there's a cleanup pan. But besides that, besides the ingenuity that it took, you know, a Mensa level architect to come up with for that chicken drawer.
Yep.
You're right. The console itself is it's a miniature PC.
Yeah, and it's powerful.
It's very powerful.
Like just running through it really quickly. Hold on. Really quickly. You've got two Seagate Barracuda 1 TB SSD. It's VR ready, has ray tracing, 240 frames per second with up to 240 hertz output.
Oh, I gotta get a new TV.
Supports 4K displays. So you got 4K gaming on it. And let's see, what else does it say here? Again, built and designed by Cooler Master.
Yes.
So again, and then of course the most popular chicken warmer.
How much chicken will it hold?
I don't know. See, right now the picture shows like two pieces. So.
See, that's not realistic.
Yeah, see, because when you go and get a bucket, I mean, you're not warming up two pieces.
Now, hold on. Now, this isn't KFC. This is completely, we had no intention of talking about this.
No, we didn't. This just happened. I'm sorry.
This is not the first time the Colonel is involved in gaming recently.
Oh, Lord. Yes.
No, KFC put out a dating simulator with the Colonel. Not only that, but separately, there is a 15-minute movie starring Mario Lopez as Colonel Sanders that ends up, it's like a drama involving a love triangle with the Colonel. And that's a God honest truth.
I thought that was like literally like a Hallmark or a Lifetime movie length.
No, no.
Was it only 15 minutes?
I think it was short. I think it was only like 15, maybe 20 minutes.
Thank God.
But KFC is like, you know what? You know.
What, I mean, like, how do you have, like, what does he say? You know, you really know how to fry my chicken, baby.
Throw it against the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, look, point. Kudos to KFC for thinking outside the box.
Totally.
Or bucket. Sorry.
The mashed potatoes are fantastic.
Low hanging fruit there. Okay. So we were talking New Year's resolutions. But this did come up because I'm not going to lie. I'm curious enough to see at the end of the day how good of a console this is, where I am considering it being a purchase, and it has nothing to do with the chicken warmer. That's the novelty part that I want. Because let's face it, Larry, let's be honest. I'm not going to KFC.
Maybe this will change your mind.
No, I don't.
Three weeks after owning the system, you'll be on the episode. You'll be as big as me.
Well, that's what it is. It's like the console may produce the smells of KFC that makes you go out and buy it.
It's like the Burger King games on the Xbox 360.
No, those were awful. Never bring those up. Those were terrible.
Hey, I still got Sneak King.
Yeah. So anyway, like KFC console, I'm curious enough to want to check it out, because if it turns out to be a very powerful console, then it may actually be worth purchasing.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, I think it's just gonna be a glorified Steam box. But yeah, that one, that's one of the weirder ones to be announced. But that's
it console wise for me in terms of like anything I'm interested in this year. Okay. Otherwise, I'm good with my PS5.
Okay.
I don't know about Xbox Series X still, because again, most of what I want to play is on PlayStation on PS5. So
fair enough.
That's where I'm at. Console. What about you, console?
Console, I got everything on order, so it doesn't matter.
That's very true.
So, but and you know, as Intellivision recently dropped more gameplay of an updated version of Astro Blast.
Ooh, I love that game.
Not only does the game look fantastic, but just looking at the controller, like the new controller on the Amico, mm-hmm. And like you can just rotate it on the fly. You know, instead of having the keypad, obviously it's a touchscreen, but it's just the inner workings of the Amico just continue actually to amaze me. And it is going to be a family friendly system. It's has no intentions of competing with Xbox or Nintendo or Sony. I mean, Microsoft. No, Sony. So it's going to kind of stand on its own. But with those already on order, like I already pre-ordered Back for Blood. Reserved it, I should say. I reserved a game called Hood, which is basically a Robin Hood game, which looks pretty cool on Xbox. My resolutions is I do want to go and complete some of these games, not only for the contest, but like to see how much you enjoyed the ending of Shadow of the Colossus. A friend of ours recently beat, or friend of the show, I think it was the Unfun Gamer, beat Shadow of the Colossus. And like he was just talking it up. And I'm like, again, this is a game I've been working on since the PS, well, working on, owned, since the PS2. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, and I know, I don't really, I have a short attention span. I get it.
Yes, you do.
But, you know, I really, maybe to sit down and try it this go around for 2021. That's kind of like my big go-to is to complete these games, especially some of the older games. But I'm looking forward to, really, I'm kind of looking forward to new, you know, like the new Ghosts and Goblins, like we talked about on the live stream. But my resolution this year also is to, you know, really try and get this retro collection. I'm not saying to go out and buy like a stadium events or anything like that. But for example, and it came through, it's already unavailable, so I have to wait for the next time. But Castlevania Symphony of the Night on Saturn. Mm-hmm. Like, I keep forgetting that came out on Saturn.
Yeah.
And I'd love to get my hands on that. I'd love to get my hands on a cardboard boxed Castlevania Symphony, not Symphony, Bloodlines for Genesis. Yes. So it's kind of like more, if I'm going to buy retro, I want to try and zero in on some more of that kind of cool ones to own, not because they're expensive, unfortunately they just might be expensive, but to really kind of get out there and you know, get those games to really pump up my collection. Mm-hmm. So that's a, you know, that's a goal.
Yeah, no, that's a good goal to have. Mm-hmm. So on my end of things in terms of games, I guess I was trying to think of like, what are the game, like, again, like, you've heard how much of a, like, I'm a Zelda nut, right? Absolutely love Legend of Zelda. But what's very surprising on my end is how many Zelda games I not only have not beaten, but have not played. Mm-hmm. So, and I feel like that's kind of almost like an insult.
Well, to me. Not really, because
myself. No. A lot of them were handheld.
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
Which
yes.
is part of the problem, because Larry knows, and I've said it a million times on this show, handheld never worked out for me. It just didn't. The screen was too small. It would drive me nuts. If you knew the size, if you knew the thickness of my glasses when I was growing up, you would probably understand it as well. You know, now obviously that you can just plug things in. And again, I started Oracle of Ages last year.
Mm-hmm.
On my Retro Freak, because again, it plays Game Boy games. So I was able to play it on a big screen. So, and that's definitely resolution number one, is to get back to that and finish that one and then move on to Seasons, which I own. But also, one of the things that I'd like to do this year, and I'm curious to see if I can pull it off, is complete my Legend of Zelda video game collection.
Ah.
So I would love to own all the Zelda games the same way that I've been collecting all the wrestling video games. Remember I said I'm just going to start picking up all the wrestling video games. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a list of every Zelda game that's ever come out, see which ones I have. And I do have a good number of them, especially console-wise. I think console-wise, I want to say I was actually really surprised to notice that I do not own Legend of Zelda 2 Adventures of Link.
Because it's a terrible game.
And I'm with you on that. That was my least favorite Zelda game of all time. And to be honest with you, that was one of the ones where I was thinking back to it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I beat that a long time ago. I don't think I beat it. I actually got all the way to the end of it at some point, and either I lost, the save got lost or something. Ooh, so
that sucks.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, I really don't want to go back and do that one. I was just never a fan of those side-scrolling ones.
Yeah.
However, now that I've kind of gotten into like those Metroidvania kind of games, like Hollow Knight and stuff like that, I have a feeling it might be a little bit more palatable.
Okay.
So, but just like looking through my collection, like I don't have that one. I know I'm missing, what else am I? Console wise, I may have all of them except that one and the ones on the CDI.
How is he going to ask? Do the CDI ones count?
Yes.
Okay. In theory, yes.
In theory, yes. I would like to add those to my collection. I would love to add the CDI to my collection.
Sorry.
What does Siri want?
I don't know. I don't even know why she answered.
I would like to add the Philips CDI to my collection as well.
That would be interesting. Yes.
Yes.
Are you looking to get like both copies of like Twilight Princess, or like both copies of Skyward Sword, or even like, I'm trying to think how deep into this you're looking for. Would you even get, I know you have Wind Waker on GameCube, you know, would you get it for the Wii U as well? Like, is that how far you're going into it?
I don't know if I'm going to go that far.
Okay, fair enough.
I tend to lean towards get the original version of the game.
Now, granted, you know, like the ones that came out, like Skyward Sword on Wii and GameCube at the same time, and then Twilight Princess, excuse me, on Wii and GameCube, Skyward Sword on Wii U and Wii, right?
I believe so. But I also think I have Skyward Sword on the Wii.
But what I'm saying is, like, for example, Twilight Princess, the games are the same, but the dungeons are flipped. Like, what'd they say? On the Wii version of Twilight Princess, everything runs in a clockwise positioning. Mm-hmm. But on the GameCube, it runs on a counterclockwise positioning.
Oh, so, for those, I might want to get both.
Yeah, so, and I don't know if it works the same for Skyward Sword. So there is a little difference, definitely.
All right, so then based on that, I might wind up getting both.
Yeah, just double check on it, because I don't know if that's the same on Skyward. But I think you would love... I keep saying this, and I know you're going to collect them. You're going to get through them, except for maybe the DS ones, because you'd have to get a DS. But the handheld versions are fantastic. And if you can, you know, get yourself a used 3DS or a 2DS, actually, and you pick up the Legend of Zelda. What the hell is it called? Basically, the sequel to the Super Nintendo version.
Link to the Past?
Yeah, but Link Between Two Worlds, that's what it's called.
I thought
on the 3DS. No, on the 3DS.
Oh, right, but I thought, didn't you give me a copy of A Link Between Worlds?
Did I? You don't have a 3DS.
No, I'm thinking Parallel World, right?
Parallel, that's something different. Hacks and everything, yeah.
Yeah.
But, so you might need to pick up a 3DS or a 2DS to play those games. Trust me, worth it.
Right, but DS games are not available. You can't play. They're not available to play on any console, right? There's no adapter.
The Wii U virtual console has DS games, and it might have... I know it has Minish Cap, which was on Game Boy Advance.
Yep.
And I think it does have... not Spirit Tracks. Oh, maybe it has Spirit Tracks, which was a Zelda game. It's like it's weird because it featured like a train and everything. So, but they're out there. They're available.
Yeah, but see, in that respect, what I would do is I would buy the original game. But then if I can download it digitally to play on a console, I'd rather do that than to get the handheld and play it on the handheld.
Fair enough.
But that's me.
Fair enough.
So yeah, so Zelda is definitely definitely my resolution for this year. I want to at least own them all. I don't want to say I want to complete them all this year. That's going to be a bigger task. Yeah, exactly, because there are so many other games that I'm playing. And then one other bit on Zelda really quickly, just thanking my friend Tarami for this lovely Christmas gift.
He pulled that out of nowhere.
Yeah, which is the
Legend
of Zelda Breath of the Wild Creating a Champion hardcover book.
Ooh.
Which is really nice. So
That is a thick book.
An immersive 424-page companion on the creation of the Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, including content from the DLC packs. 300 pages of concept art and sketches complete with developer notes. So this is really awesome. Oh, and speaking of Zelda, I also got to pick up... It's the sequel to Hyrule Warriors, which is the continuing story of Breath of the Wild that came out.
Oh yeah,
something Calamity.
What the hell is that called?
I forgot the name of it.
Yeah, it's new Hyrule Warriors, which I have the original. I have the first one on the Wii U, and it was a fun game to play. Because that new Hyrule Warriors game takes place 100 years before Breath of the Wild, through the Calamity Wars, like you said.
Yeah.
Damn it, Hyrule Warriors! What? It's gonna bug me now.
Yeah, but is that the game? I'm wondering, and don't tell me because I'm gonna get it. I'm wondering if that's the game that explains how Link winds up in, you know, that cryostasis or whatever it is he is, because he wakes up in Breath of the Wild 100 years later from his injuries.
No, that's exactly what Hyrule Warriors: Age of Calamity. Or you were
Age
there.
Of Calamity.
Yeah, you were there. So, but yeah, no, basically that's what it is. It takes place 100 years before Breath of the Wild, so it's a prequel.
Yeah, so basically, I'm assuming the story in that is how the battle of... Because it also takes place like that, because the whole idea of Breath of the Wild was it's the sequel to Ocarina of Time, so to speak. Because the story is the ending of Ocarina of Time is how Link gets injured. So I guess Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity is kind of like what happens after Ocarina of Time ends. Like right on the heels of that,
basically. And I think in chronological order or canon, if you will, I think Age of Calamity then technically is the first Zelda game. Oh no, I'm sorry. No, I misread that. Nope. You're right. I misread that. It's the first game in the Zelda series to act as a prequel, indirect prequel.
Yeah, because I was going to say Skyward Sword canon is the first.
Right. I completely misread.
And then of course we've talked about this before, where it's like. The Zelda timeline branches into three different directions, depending on which ending happens in certain games.
Yeah, so, but still
which is funny. Adventures of Link, and just to throw this out, which is really funny, like Legend of Zelda and Adventures of Link for the NES, which were the first two games to come out, are technically on one branch of the timeline, the last two games in the story.
Yeah, that's weird. It's very Star Wars like.
It really. Really kind of is.
So, but still, something to look forward to in 2021. While you were talking and you mentioned something about kind of like save state and going back because you have one of the Oracle games saved. When I hooked up my PS2, right, and I was going, you know, I put in a memory card because I tried one of the games that I had, and I'm looking at the memory card and, you know, it's got some old stuff on it. So old that it doesn't even tell me when the last time I played it.
Nice.
That's how old it is. But it was it was saves for a couple of SmackDown games, for Final Fantasy Tactics, for a couple of James Bond games. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, what am I going to do with these? If I go back and play these games, I don't know what's going on. So I have about 5 or 6 memory cards between the PS1 and the PS2. Honestly, I think I'm just going to pop them in and just erase them and start over on everything. I might as well.
There's nothing wrong with starting over a game if so much time has gone by, especially a game where you're kind of deep into some type of story.
Like an RPG or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like leaving an RPG for like, forget it, for like a few months, let alone years. will take you forever. It was interesting too, because there was something online about, not something online, but I remember somebody posting this or an article about it, where games are so advanced now that they should know. Like, they should have the ability to recap where you're at if you've been gone for a certain period of time.
Can you imagine?
I mean, it makes sense. It's like...
No, it does.
You know, you haven't played this game in a month. Here's kind of a recap of what you've seen. Because think about it. It wouldn't take that much to put the coding in the game to kind of create almost a recap trailer for when you come back into the game.
No, that would be... Can you imagine just like video of you dying over and over and over?
No. I'm just talking about the story in the game, not you dying. But in other words, like, here's where you left off in the story, so you can, you know, so you can kind of remember where you were at. Mm-hmm. I would love that for games.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, I think that's a great thing, that especially as like games, like when you're getting games that are like 50, 60, 70 hours long, you know what I mean? Like, I think Assassin's Creed Valhalla is something like 120 hours or 130 hours of gameplay. And I'm like, that's insane. I go, let alone like trying to remember, oh, what happened in hour 4 that I need to remember now in hour, you know, 37.
Honestly, right?
So just one of those things. Or a perfect example would be like, let's go really retro. Chrono Trigger. I love Chrono Trigger. It takes a lot of time to get through that game. And there are like 10 different endings. Mm. So it's like, to be able to have to like to, and again, this is Super Nintendo. It's like, you didn't know, like at the time, it's like, you didn't know where to save the game at a point where you knew it was going to branch into different endings. So you can at least go back part way through. Mm-hmm. Essentially, you finish it and then need to go all the way back to the start to kind of find your way to another ending. It's like, it would be great to know those branch points. So you can just save at that point, go back, and then, you know, find your way through, so you can see all the, because I would look.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a completionist. I want to see all the endings. So
no, I agree with you. That's all right. Something to think about. Yeah. Programmers, if you're listening, please. You know, please look into it.
Would really appreciate it.
Yeah, and then the final thing for me, as far as resolutions, again, with 2021, I go back to it. You know, with these completion of these games, again, not just the contest, but I don't know. I just also... Forget the completing. I've noticed when playing some games, especially like on the Atari, on the VCS. Now, granted, it's going back, because right now all I really have is just the two Atari collections, which I've owned multiple times before, but they actually look even crisper on this thing. Plus, using the original joystick is phenomenal. Yeah. But to sit down, like, I always kind of just blow through the text and everything. But to be able to actually sit down and read the story and absorb the story of the game as opposed to just playing it, I think that'd be interesting to try. I don't think I've ever actually... Like, I can't tell you the story of Shining Force.
Really?
I have no idea what's going on other than you just have to complete a dragon.
Do you just fly through the text when it shows up on the screen?
For the most part, yeah.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
That was even when I was younger. I want to play, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But now that I'm... older.
And I get that, but when you play RPGs, you have to be willing to read.
No, it's not that I'm not willing to read, but I just kind of,
like,
I just wonder, I want to get into the gameplay.
Yeah.
So.
No, and I understand.
Patience. Yes, that's what it's about.
Yes, patience is key. And I understand that concern. I just think that, and it's a good resolution to have. It's like, actually sit down and play. Like, here's the thing. RPGs and stuff like that, they're always going to take a long period of time. Just be willing to sit there and enjoy the ride, because half of the ride in those games is a story.
You're correct. So, in fact, I think I own a game that's all text. I think it's the sequel, the unofficial sequel to Chrono Trigger. But I put it in, and it's not Chrono Cross. I put it in, and it's literally just a book on an NES.
It's a text-based adventure game.
No, not even that. It's just text.
Yeah.
it's a ROM, you know, it's a ROM. It's
yeah,
a hack,
no, I know, but that's what I'm talking about. I mean, if you go back to old like Commodore 64 games and stuff like that, like I remember text-based games. Like I played Incredible Hulk on Commodore 64, and it literally was just a still image, and everything was text, and then you decided what to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how those games went back then. Yeah. So there's you know, there's a home for those types of games for people who like to read.
There is. So, all right. So 2021 is going to have a lot to look forward to, including some, I mean, this year is going to be wicked as far as anniversaries.
Yes, we have a ton of anniversaries. And if you guys haven't followed us on our Facebook page, you really should. But I found an image, and one of the anniversaries on here is actually incorrect. But went through a list. It just basically lists out all of the game franchises that are having anniversaries this year. And not only are those, you know, some heavy hitters on there, it made me feel really old.
Oh my God, I'm looking at it now. Yeah.
Yeah, because first off, the oldest one is at 40 years. And what made me feel really old about it is that I'm older than that. So that's part of the problem. But I'm just going to rattle off really quickly, like some of the ones that...
notable ones.
Some really notable ones. Perfect example. Pokemon is entering its 25th anniversary. Legend of Zelda, 35 years. Metroid, 35 years. Dragon Quest, 35 years. That was the one that was the mistake. It says 25.
Oh, yeah, it says 25.
Dragon Quest is
actually
35. Sonic the Hedgehog, 30 years.
Well, these are...
Yeah, Street Fighter 2, 30 years.
These are the U.S. releases for the most part.
These are the U.S. ones. Yeah. Kid Icarus, 35 years. Donkey Kong, 40 years. Kingdom Hearts is at 15 years already.
Unbelievable.
And then console... Resident Evil, 25 years. And then console-wise, the Wii is turning 15. The GameCube's turning 20. And the Nintendo 64 is turning 25.
It is wild. So crazy. this is the year. We got a lot to talk about.
Yep.
So at least it'll keep us busy. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12.
Yep.
We can almost half the year we can talk about almost a different franchise.
Yeah, basically. It's crazy. There are just so many. There are so many on that list. So check it out on our Facebook page. It's really, really cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, cool. Other than that, what else you got? Any news coming out or any updates?
I got a few things to talk about really quickly. We already talked about the KFC console.
Yes.
Really quickly, I saw this article a few days ago, but we all know that the Game Boy has been around for a very long time,
sure,
right?
Has.
But there was a lost Game Boy add-on that has recently been discovered.
I remember this originally.
Yep, it was an unreleased add-on known as the Work Boy, has been discovered after 28 years, and it basically turned your Game Boy into a PDA.
I wanted this thing so bad. So I remember this.
Yeah, so basically a PDA, it would have an address book, a calculator, an appointment book, all on your Game Boy.
It had a little keyboard.
Yep.
That you could use. And of course, I was little back then, so my hands were little, so I'd be able to use it.
It would have been perfect. But just that news coming out that, like, because they had announced it.
It didn't come out officially?
No.
I would have sworn it did.
No. Can't. They showed it at CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, in 1992.
Okay.
It was originally planned to be released in late 92 or early 93 for $79 to $89.
Mm-hmm.
Various issues prevented it from ever reaching the public. So
I could have sworn it was released for a little while. Yep. Okay.
And as far as the person who they interviewed with, there were only two prototypes left in the world that he knew of.
Okay. Oh, and yeah. Then, look at this. Yeah.
Yeah. So
it was canceled. Okay. Oh, yes. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
So just an interesting thing there.
I do remember this thing, and I'm like, ooh, cool. A keyboard for the Game Boy. And who knows if that did come out, maybe it would have. You know, they would have done more with the keyboard or something like that. But I do remember this thing, and that was a cool piece of nostalgia for me.
Yeah, so I thought that was really cool. Okay, and other news also. We talked about this the other day when we were live on New Year's Eve, but there is an unofficial PlayStation 2-themed PS5 console going on sale next month.
Did you say unofficial?
Unofficial.
Oh, interesting.
So we'll see how fast it gets cracked down on. But basically, somebody took the PS5 console and they basically made it look, you know, they made it black with a black controller.
Sexy.
To look exactly like the PS2 console did, which I think is kind of cool. I mean, going back to the roots of the most successful PlayStation console, you know, to date.
Most successful console, one of.
Yeah, one date. Of the most successful consoles of all time. Yeah. So
I don't know. Black, mine's silver. So I don't know.
Well, the original, I believe the original PS2 was black, right?
It was, so, yes.
Yeah, whatever.
All right, trouble. That's interesting. That's very interesting.
Yep, so we have that. Then a couple of other things. This one I thought was kind of interesting, one that I think you would be interested in. But a gamer, I want to say, is this a gamer? So somebody named G-Man Mods.
Okay.
That's his name. He just broke the 2015 record for creating the world's smallest portable Nintendo 64.
N64. Interesting.
Portable. I'm not kidding you when you see the picture of it. The console, or the portable console, is just slightly bigger than the N64 cartridge you have to plug into it.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess at some point you can only get as small as the cart.
Basically. So it has a 3.5-inch LCD display, headphone jack and speakers, and a lithium ion battery cell that can power the console for an hour and a half.
Okay, fair enough.
The device, you can also play and charge it at the same time, so you can play it as a plug-in.
Interesting.
But it's insanely small. So just imagine that. And then a couple of other things. We have the Capcom Retro Station. Have you heard of this thing?
Oh, yeah. Is that the blue? Is it blue?
It's the little blue one, yes, with the joystick and the monitor on, yes, and everything. Okay, so that is coming up soon.
Okay.
That will be coming. So the Capcom Retro Station, I guess, is their version of an NES Mini.
You know, they've done about 3 or 4 of them, honestly.
Yeah, this is another one.
Yeah, and for the most part, they got some of the same games on them. Yeah. So
I just assumed this would be the one that you would want the most. It's coming with 10 pre-installed games.
Mm-hmm.
And the 10 pre-installed games are Mega Man the Power Battle, Mega Man 2 the Power Fighters, Mega Man Soccer, Mega Man X.
Oh.
Mega Man and Bass, but that's for Japanese console.
That
only.
Game is awesome.
Yep. Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter 2 Champion Edition, Super Street Fighter 2, Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, and Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo.
So it's a glorified Street Fighter system.
Basically, it's a Mega Man and a Street Fighter system.
Because those first two Mega Man games are fighters. So
yes.
But Mega Man and Bass, if you haven't tried it yet,
yep,
the game is fantastic. It came out on Game Boy Advance here in the US, but it is a Super Nintendo, Super Famicom version. You can get the Game Boy Advance version on the Wii U, and I highly, highly recommend it.
Okay. I've honestly never played it.
So. You would love it.
Oh, cool.
Yep.
So that thing is coming soon. Okay. So I just thought you would want it for sure.
No, you know, I've eyed it. And this year, I think another resolution for me is not as obsessively, compulsively ordering these systems.
Yeah.
You know, I had that other arcade, the Capcom arcade
with
machine.
The giant arcade stick. Yeah.
No, that I have. That I own. Okay. No, there was the other one that kind of, like, they make it look like a Japanese arcade, you know, like the white cabinet and everything like that. I had that on pre-order. I had the Game Gear Micros on pre-order,
right?
Which I've seen in action, and I am highly regretting canceling that order.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I'm gonna pick and choose a little wiser. And again, not because of funding, just more, you know, does it make sense? The Game Boy Micro, the Game Gear Micro would have made sense. So that's so far my only regret.
What have made sense to you? They did not make sense to me.
No, that's what I'm talking about. Me. Yeah. I'm not talking about you. What do I care?
No, well, I know you're not talking about me. Oh, good Lord.
But, you know, something maybe down the road. But still, that one that you just talked about, Ant, that is a pretty powerful lineup, especially if you're in a Street Fighter.
Yeah, definitely is. And then the little last bit of news, and this is probably the biggest one that I saw that came out a couple weeks ago, and I think we missed it. SNK, if you do not know who SNK are, they were responsible for the Neo Geo console.
Neo Geo.
They are launching a new gaming console this year.
I think I've seen it. It's like a half size. Console.
No, a brand new console.
Oh.
Not the Neo Geo mini arcade cabinet, but a brand new console.
This is interesting.
So SNK tweeted a couple of weeks ago, a brand new console is coming from SNK in 2021. a system to bridge the needs between passionate fans and console gaming enthusiasts.
That's interesting.
Yes. So really curious to see what that is. It is not, and it seems like, again, they were clear, it's not a mini console. It's not like a mini. This is a gaming console that they're coming out with. So I'm really curious to see what SNK is cooking up.
That,
and furthermore,
is wild.
I hope it's not like $1,000 system like the Neo Geo was, because that's why nobody bought it.
And to be fair, that's the only thing. That's the only way.
I mean, come on.
Just dawned on me real quick. There are a couple of things I want to mention on actually Kickstarter. A couple of interesting Kickstarter gaming related, not actual games, but gaming related. There's one here called the Couch Console. It is a, and I've seen this actually advertised on Instagram. And I mean, I got a new couch. So I don't need this, but if you have a couch, or I guess a love seat, you can call it, that doesn't have like a divide in between where you can place a cup holder or something onto.
Yeah.
This is a self-balancing cup holder.
You mean one of these?
Hold on. Let me see. Actually, look, that's fancy. Yes, Anthony just pulled down the middle of his couch and has a couple cup holders and a place you can put something on. You're right. If you don't have that,
it does not have a chicken warmer.
No, we should just all return our couches. But this thing has a self-balancing cup holder, a snack holder, a phone stand, a charging dock, a remote tray, a storage pocket, all in a light, compact, and modular pack. So basically, you kind of just sit it next to you on the couch, and it has, like, again, a little cup for snacks, a couple of charging stations. You can put your controller on it, and it's got a cup holder where, like, you know, when you move, something like a gyroscope, move the cup holder thing, it always stays vertical.
Oh, that's cool.
It's pretty cool. It's got 35 days ago. Just search for the Couch Console. They got 7,900 backers. Listen to this. They pledged for $15,000. They already have, it just went up as we speak. 1.1 million.
Nice.
Already hit. So that one's pretty interesting. And one that I talked about real quick on the live show that we did, Genki, G-E-N-K-I. They have put out a couple little hookups for the Nintendo Switch that they have been the top grossing or top selling or top Kickstarter for both 2018 and 2019, I think, in like the video game department, if you want to call it. They had a Bluetooth headset and the little travel dock, if you will, for the Switch. It's like this big, but it's basically a docking station for the Switch.
Oh, nice.
They put out a new one. It's called the Shadow Cast for the Switch and the PS5 specifically, but I feel like you can use almost anything. The simplest, quote unquote, the simplest way to play console games on your computer. No internet connection or TV needed. Play wherever you want. And as I was watching the video, more information comes out of it where you can record and stream content.
Ooh.
And it hacks the camera on your phone. Not in a bad way, but it hacks the camera on your computer, meaning it's, I don't have the technology to explain this, both in my head or the wording. But it basically hacks the camera where, like right now, we're both on Zoom. If we both had this unit, we can plug them in and we can each play a two-player game, and it uses the camera as almost like a monitor to link us so we can play each other like seamlessly.
Oh, wow.
And it still records.
That's awesome.
It's crazy. Again, it's called Genki, G-E-N-K-I, Shadowcast. At the time of this recording, it's 26 days to go. They needed $30,000. They're at almost $800,000.
Damn.
With over 13,000 backers. I back this. So I definitely check this thing out. I think it's going to be like a new way to stream or to capture content much easier than before. And these guys have a proven track record.
All right. That sounds really awesome.
Yeah, definitely check it out.
I'm definitely interested in that.
So I just wanted to mention those two before we get ready to wrap this up, unless you have anything else to mention.
No.
Okay. And that's it. You know what you can mention?
I think we're good. What can I mention?
Where can we be found?
You guys can find us on facebook.com/retrogamerspodcast. You can watch us on YouTube or IGTV. You can listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts. If you want to hit us up on Instagram, it's at retrogamerspodcast, on Twitter at retrogamerspod, or if you want to email us, you can email us at email@theretrogamers.com.
Yes, and everyone here, which you're looking at and listening to right now, at the Retro Gamers Podcast, want to thank everyone who are with us, and you know, thank you for listening, thank you for watching. Have a happy and healthy and safe 2021, and we're going to have a lot to talk about this year. I think it's going to be a fun year.
It's definitely going to be a fun year, and just to add on to, may this year be your most retro game-filled 2021 or year ever. I don't know, something like that. I don't know. I didn't have that pre.
That is the best way to end this episode. And folks, we will catch you everywhere next week on the Retro Gamers Podcast.